It is the season, isn't it? The season of people rushing about, of traffic, of people laying on their horns. It is a season of impatience, a season where people are in a rush. Well, indeed, yeah, get to the point, right? And so, tonight, our scripture passage reminds us of God's perfect timing. And our waiting on God, our learning patience, that His time is always best. The lessons from Psalm 70 along these lines are lessons that are not easy for us, are not easy for me to learn. Opening verse of Psalm 70. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O God, O Lord, make haste to help me. Here, the psalmist begins with his urgent need. He is crying out to God to help him, for he knows that he has no other help but the Lord. And in verse 2, he describes why it is he is summoning God for help. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. There were those seeking to destroy the life of the king. There are many names that we could list. This psalm doesn't list them. We notice in the header to this psalm, to the choir master of David, for the memorial offering. He speaks of those who seek his life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Merry Christmas. What a verse for us this week of Christmas. But what this psalm is about is in the midst of trouble, trusting the Lord, relying upon Him, looking to Him, placing our trust in Him. And the psalmist acknowledges his great need. Look at the final verse of the psalm, verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Hasten to me, O God. Which of us is not poor and needy? Spiritually, by nature, we are poor and needy. Even now that we've come to know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we've been lavish with grace upon grace, every spiritual blessing is ours. And yet apart from Christ, we read, we can do nothing. So we are the ones who are continually poor and needy. Just as Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount with that first beatitude, blessed are those who are poor in spirit. That is the beginning of the Christian life, to acknowledge our need, to acknowledge our need of the Lord. It is right for the psalmist to go to God with his problems. And it is right for the psalmist as well to trust God to work in the difficult circumstances that he is facing as people are seeking to destroy him. The English Antonations is a book of reflections of English reformers on the Bible. They're marvelous statements of faith, of light, of scripture, of hope. On this passage from Psalm 70, in this book, one of the English reformers writes, there must also be a resolution of patience and submission. And they're writing about are waiting upon the Lord. With belief and assurance, we must understand that God's time, be it sooner or later, is our best time. We must learn that God's time, be it sooner or later, is our best time. Even though present sense and weak flesh suggest the contrary. We often tell God to hurry up. We want something and we want it now. The world around us teaches us these values and we often incorporate them in our faith. But the psalmist here is learning that he has to wait upon God's timing. That God's timing is best. God's timing is right. I thought of those believers in the Old Testament who longed, who hoped for the fulfillment of the promises of God's word, of a Redeemer to come. Wondering if when and how God might fulfill his word of promise. There were many hoping, waiting for the consolation of Israel through the Messiah, the Redeemer. The Apostle Paul, reflecting on God's timing in Galatians chapter 4, speaks these words of profound truth. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoptions as sons. There was the fullness of time. This word fullness is used a fair amount in the New Testament. It speaks of several things. Completion, richness, lavishness. Here, I think it's more along the lines of God's perfect timing, the time that he chose, even from the foundation of the world. And that is what we're celebrating as we gather this Christmas week. At our dinner table here, someone mentioned that in Uganda, they really don't have all the kind of elaborate observations of Christmas trees and poinsettias and red sweaters and other things that we take in as part of our Christmas. But they go to worship. They go to church. And we can learn from our third world brothers and sisters here that it was because of the fullness of time, of God's timing, that he sent his Son, that we celebrate this coming Christmas, this coming Lord's Day, the wonder and the glory of the incarnation of God being in human flesh, maintaining his full divinity, taking on our humanity, and undergoing those little tender hands would one day have nails put through them, and those feet unable to walk and initially in Bethlehem would one day make their way up a dusty trail. I'm kind of referring to a quote by John MacArthur, or that lovely body wrapped in swaddling clothes would one day be pierced by a spear, and that fair head would one day receive a crown. a crown of thorns, that Jesus was born to die, to lay down his perfect and righteous life. Is that once for all an acceptable sacrifice with God? It was when the time had fully come, or in the fullness of time, that God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. The response at that first Christmas was largely, by those who believed, was largely joy and praise. The angels, the shepherds, Mary, perhaps not Herod, but the majority who knew and waited for the consolation of Israel, brought their praise to God. So as we begin our prayer time together, let's bring our praise to God for the wonder of redemption. Let's extol God for his character in sending his Son. Let's spend a season of prayer that our focus might be on Christ, the one born at Bethlehem, who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's pray together around, you know, that promise. Even though this whole room is not filled with people, but our prayers going to heaven is not based on the number of people praying. It's based on the one to whom we are praying, the Lord Jesus, who is with us, Emmanuel, and takes our prayers to heaven. So let's pray corporately together, bringing our praise to God.